When I was little, my older sister would crawl into my bed and tell me stories about a fluffy creature somewhat like the luck dragon in the Neverending Story. Now, neither of us have gone on to become writers. But for sisters Belinda Morell and Kate Forsyth, their childhoods were filled with stories. They both started writing when they were quite young, and now between them, they have published over 70 books. They also come from pretty serious literary heritage. Belinda Morell, the older sister, writes books for children and teen readers, and Kate Forsyth writes historical and fantasy fiction for children, teens and adults. Welcome to the Hub on Books.
Thank you.
Now, let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up?
We grew up in the middle of the North Shore.
This is in Sydney.
In Sydney, yes. We lived in the middle of the North Shore in Sydney. So originally we grew up in a vet hospital in the middle of the North Shore, and then later we moved up to Gordon.
Because your father was a vet.
Our father was a vet, yes. He was a very interesting man. And so we had a great childhood, surrounded by books and surrounded by animals.
That is a good start to things. And where did storytelling fit into your family life, Kate?
Well, we come from a long line of storytellers, and we actually have a rich literary heritage in our family. So our great-great-great-great-grandmother wrote the first children's book published in Australia.
That's amazing. What was it?
Yeah, it's called A Mother's Offering to Her Children by a lady long resident in New South Wales.
Is it any good?
Well, you know, it's a fantastic. It was the first book that actually, covered Australian history and flora and fauna. It's a real snapshot of what life was like in the colonies. I mean, it was published in 1841, so it's a very old book, almost 180 years old.
That's amazing. That is very strong literary heritage you've got there.
Yes,
but it doesn't just end there, does it?
No. Well, her daughter was the first Australian-born female novelist. So that's our great-great-great aunt, was Louisa Atkinson.
And so she was Australian born. So this is obviously your great 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 grandmother was not born here.
No, she wasn't. She came out in 1826.
Yeah. And so did this story form the backdrop for your lives as children?
It was very much a strong part of our childhood, but my grandmother was the most wonderful storyteller, and she used to tell stories about how her family came to Australia from Scotland, and she used to tell us stories about fairy tales and folk tales and all sorts of amazing adventures that she'd been on. And so she was always telling us stories, as was our mother. So I think that it was really that sort of family storytelling that was the backbone of our childhood, rather than just those particular ancestors who were the writers.
And we were a very big reading family. So, you know, we grew up surrounded by books, you know, books just everywhere. Everyone in our family learnt to read very, very young. And so, you know, because we were big readers and because we came from this kind of storytelling family, I guess it was just a really natural part of our childhood.
So it wasn't that you felt pressure to become writers, it was just part of the mix.
Not at all. But I worry about the next generation. I feel that they might feel pressure.
Because everyone asks our children if they're going to be writers as well, because, you know.
And how do they respond?
Oh, they're actually all very talented writers. And my favourite one is Kate's son, Tim, said, "You've got to be kidding. That's way too much hard work to be a writer.
Right.
I'll be something else that isn't quite so intense."
He has seen both sides of the family struggling, and it is hard work.
It is hard work, but it's joyous work as well.
Absolutely.
So take me back, though, to when you were children. When did you start writing? You said you started reading from an early age. When did you start writing, Kate?
Well, you know, my mum says that I began scribbling stories as soon as I could hold a pencil, and Belinda was exactly the same. I wrote my first novel when I was 7, so it was exactly 27 pages long, which is not bad for a 7-year-old, I think.
I reckon that's pretty good. What was it about?
It was called Runaway, and I hand wrote it in a school exercise book. It was about a boy and his sister who ran away from their mean aunties and had all sorts of adventures to find their nice auntie, and I think it's pretty much an Enid Blyton ripoff.
Well, as young children do, don't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, just copy the stories that you like.
That's how you learn.
Absolutely.
And what about you, Belinda? What were you writing then?
I was the same. I think my early stories were very definitely blatant ripoffs of Enid Blyton. It was that adventure, the kids having no
C.S.
parents,
Lewis.
Going off on their adventures. Absolutely, C.S. Lewis was another huge influence. And so I don't remember ever not writing. I don't remember exactly what I was writing. I was always either telling stories. We were writing poems and plays and stories and novels and illustrating them by hand and pretending they were being published in Paris, New York, and London at the age of 8. And so yes, it was always just a huge part of our childhood. It's what we did. And I can remember being so excited when Dad would let us use the typewriter in the office of the vet hospital and we could actually type our stories instead of writing them by hand. That felt very grown up.
And Kate Forsyth and Belinda Morell, did you write stories together when you were little?
Not really, but Belinda was my first editor. So I would write a story and then Belinda would fix it for me.
With my big red pen.
Yes. And I can remember running up to my grandmother at one point crying because Belinda had had fixed one of my stories and it wasn't what I wanted my story to be. And I can remember my grandmother putting me on her lap and cuddling me and saying, it's only because Belinda loves you so much that she wants to help you. I'm like, but it was my story.
We did write a couple of things together.
We
a couple
did.
Of plays we wrote together and occasionally we'd write a story together. But I think more we tried to avoid doing it together so we didn't fight because we
good
actually
thinking.
Wanted different things for our stories.
Yeah,
so we
that's right.
realised that quite early on, I think.
What
and
did
we
you
always...
want? What, and has that continued?
Yeah.
Yes. That it is. Quite often we talk about a book that we're working on and, you know, I might be worrying about a plot issue or Kate might be worrying about her book. And I think we see our characters in our books very differently, but we love talking about it and it always helps, but we don't necessarily want to do the same thing or write the same way.
And we don't show each other our actual writing until the book is finished. I think for both of us, you know, the writing is quite a private process. So we talk about it a lot. We share, you know, we walk once or twice a week and all we do is talk about books and writing and meeting and, you know, for hours as we walk. But then, you know, the idea is just having an active listener and someone who understands the creative process, what it is like to write a novel. Having a sympathetic listener can be so helpful.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And it's sometimes when you're just explaining it, you suddenly a light bulb goes on, you go, oh, I know exactly how to fix that problem.
Exactly. Mm.
But even though you say that you've got different interests in writing, there is a crossover.
Very much so. I was at a school once and a little girl put up her hand and she said, Belinda, I have a question for you. And I said, yes, what is it? And she said, I want to know, I've made it read all of your books and all of your sister's books and I've made a list of all the things that are similar about your work. And you both have monkeys and you both do this and you both have adventure
yes,
and you both
English
have
English history,
and,
Scottish history, yeah, fantasy, yeah. Animals, that's on my list.
Exactly. And gardens and we love the same names. And so I've had to change the name of one of my characters once because we were writing books at the same time and we named our heroines the exact
exactly the same name.
Oh, my goodness. What was that name?
It was Tilly.
It was Tilly. Yes, it was Tilly. And so
it was my turn to change.
It was because I had changed a character in the previous
yes,
book.
Yes, and so my character became called Lily, you know, distinctive distance.
Yes.
Yes, but it's not quite so much crossover now. It was more so when Kate and I were both writing children's books for similar ages at the same time. But more lately, Kate's been writing a lot more adult fiction and I write purely for children of different ages. So there's not quite as much crossover as there used to be. But it used to be hilariously funny. You'd say, oh, no, not again.
So, Kate Forsyth, you're historical fiction for adults. People will know you for Bitter Greens and your latest is Beauty in Thorns. But I have been reading both of your books for children. I've been reading The Locket of Dreams Belinda and The Gypsy
Lovely.
Crown by you, Kate. I love both of these books.
Oh,
thank you.
But, you know, this is an area where there's definite crossover. You both use jewellery in your writing. Where does this come from?
I think that comes from my grandmother. So my grandmother used to tell stories, and The Locket of Dreams is based on a story that my grandmother told us when we were growing up. It was one of my favourite stories, and it was about how my grandmother's grandmother came to Australia from Scotland. And, of course, my grandmother's grandmother died many, many years ago, and all that was left was the stories that she told her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, plus there was a little gold locket that was passed down from mother to daughter for 150 years until it came to my mother.
Yeah.
And so I used that motif because that was the actual locket that was in the real life story. So I stole a motif from there. But it's just such a gorgeous way of passing down. It's like stories passed down through the generation, and jewellery heirlooms are passed down through the generations.
And interestingly enough, the Chain of Charms series was also the, it's about a charm bracelet. And that is another piece of jewellery passed down through our family and inherited by my mother.
Exactly.
And I hadn't actually really realised that before, how close are those two inspirations were. But, you know, I guess that it's just, you know, we're drawing upon family history. We're drawing upon family stories. And I guess we both love jewellery.
Absolutely. And my mother has the most amazing collection of gorgeous antique jewellery. She's just has the most beautiful jewellery collection. So we're inspired by that, I'm sure.
But has it ever been difficult that you were both writing in the same genres, fantasy, historical fiction for children, when you were more narrowly in that phase?
I think one of the trickiest times was actually when we both realised that we were both writing a book set in Scotland. So The Locket of Dreams was my first time slip historical book, and Kate was writing The Puzzle Ring, again, more jewellery, which was also set in Scotland. And because
We
had no idea. And we weren't actually living both in Sydney at the same time. I was away travelling with my family at that time. So I'd been to Scotland, I'd researched the book. And it wasn't until we came home and both books were nearly finished. And then I don't know why we hadn't discussed it before then, but suddenly we realised that there was an incredible number of similarities. But we were different publishers, but they had both chosen the same day to publish the books.
Yeah.
So we're going to have both of us having a book about set in Scotland with time slip and fantasy and all of these things
coming out the same day. It turned out being really, really beautiful because we ended up touring together, and our publishers, you know, kind of became friends or were friends with us. And so we, you know, we ended up, you know, touring together for months and telling our stories and celebrating the fact that we had written these stories with these uncanny similarities. And it ended up being, it was never really a problem.
It wasn't a problem at all.
It was just so surprising how similar in many respects the stories were. Except, we are different writers. You know, my books tend to be a bit more wild and a bit more fantastical, perhaps, than Belinda's.
And yeah, well, Belinda, your series, Pippa's Island, is very much, I don't know, I was thinking Babysitter's Club for Australian kids.
It's very modern day contemporary, modern day kids, their friendship issues, what they get up to, painting their toenails, you know, it's just very very contemporary and fun for younger readers. So.
Very real, you know, that's what I think that, you know, Belinda does so well is that it is that kind of contemporary voice and that, you know, how real her characters are and how much, you know, it seems to reflect real life. I think she's better at that than me.
Oh. I don't think so.
But tell me, when you're touring for months together,
yes,
how does that affect the sisterly relationship?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's lovely. No, we do. Occasionally we'll have little tiffs about things, but it's never about anything major. It's always, and it's lovely to spend time together. And it's so lovely to have someone who actually understands what you're going through, understands the difficulties and is really excited about the successes. And I think, you know, as much as supportive as our wider families are, I think unless you're actually really involved in the industry and involved in this, you don't quite understand how exhausting it can be, how stressful it can be, and how joyful it can be.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the challenges.
So I wonder what your family gatherings are like. Is there lots of storytelling?
Noisy, very noisy.
Everyone talking at once normally.
Because you both have three children each, is that right?
Yes, we do. Yes, and they're very close in age together as well.
And we have a brother who has also got some books published, and he has three children as well. So there are nine cousins, 8 years apart from oldest to youngest.
Wow, that'll be great fun for them, I tell you.
Yeah.
They're great friends, yes, and we're all great, really great friends as well. So my brother's, even though he writes non-fiction, primarily business books, he's a great writer as well. Mm.
So he's the black sheep of the family.
Yes, that's right.
Not writing fiction. Have you written together? Would you?
Well. Kate and I are laughing at each other because we have a little secret project that we've always said, no, we wouldn't work together.
Or maybe one day.
Maybe one day we would.
Never say never.
We have a little dream that we would like to write a book together. So we'll see how that goes. It's a little secret project on the side.
Yes. No, I think you can confidently say that we shall be writing a book together.
All right. Your secret is safe with me.
And all of your millions and millions of listeners.
Oh, yes. Millions of them. Well, Kate Forsyth and Belinda Morell, it's been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy to talk to you as well.
Kate Forsyth's latest book for adults is Beauty in Thorns, published by Penguin, and Belinda Morell's latest contemporary Australian fiction for middle readers is Pippa's Island. It's also published by Penguin. And stay tuned for the book they're writing together. This is The Hub on Books. I'm Sarah Lestrange, keeping the chair warm for Claire Nichols while she's away for a fortnight.